telling the people in the back, Spike has exceeded our expectations once again. How big is Stockton, anyway? Well, on behalf of Spike's family, I want to welcome you and thank you for coming today as we honor his life, and now as we honor him in his death. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your greatness. Thank you for your love, for your creation, for us, Lord, for Spike. And Father, I thank you for the impression that Spike had on so many people. And I thank you for his love for you, first of all, and then how he showed that to not only us, but to his family and the love he had for them and the joy of the Lord and the hope that they would know you even as he does. And Father, I thank you today that we can worship together as we remember his life and know with joy in our hearts that he's in your presence even as we speak. So I pray today, Father, that your spirit move among us. May our hearts be ready to receive what you have. And we thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 121, I lift my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. This time, we're going to sing in the garden, and I'll ask you all to please stand and sing with us.
Bids me
Please be seated. I want to say that immediately following the service this afternoon, we'll have lunch over in our fellowship hall and visitation. You can spend time visiting with the family and with each other. And also, in a few minutes, partway through the service, we're going to have a time of sharing. If you'd like to share a memory, a story of Spike, you can do that. If it gets kind of long, we might cut you off, but we would love to have a word or two. And we're going to ask that you make a line over there and come up here, because we're feeding this on Facebook, and in order to pick up the voice, it has to be in a mic, and there's people in the parking lot watching, and it'll just be a blank if you're not in front of the camera and on the microphone. So I hope you're not stage frightened, but if you are, I hope you get over it. So I'd like to read from Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. He who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made his ways known to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. For he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who love him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed, and he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, and you who his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. This time, I would like to read Spike's obituary. Dennis Michael Spike McGee, age 73, of Stockton, Illinois, passed away on Sunday, February 9, 2025. He was born to Vernon and Neola Gates McGee on December 15, 1951, in Freeport, Illinois. Spike grew up in Stockton and attended primary school at Holy Cross and graduated from Stockton High School in 1970. Shortly after high school, he joined the United States Army, where he was stationed in Korea as a military police officer from June of 1971 to December of 1972. When he returned home, he started working at Schramm Plastering in Freeport, Illinois. In 1978, he started his own business, McGee Plastering. He was always known for his attention to detail and passion for his work, and he was a true artist. After he retired from plastering, Spike would salvage old barnwood and resell it. He was very passionate about not seeing those barns go to waste. During his younger years, he would volunteer with the Stockton girls' basketball programs. Singing was another passion of Spike's. For many years, he was a member of the Peace Seekers Choir out of Stockton, where they performed different Christian songs. Spike was a devoted Christian and was active in the Martintown Community Church, the Willow Church, and the Morrisville Church. He was part of various Bible study groups at those churches. Spike is survived by his daughter, Vanessa McGee Squires of Grimes, Iowa, 9 siblings, Gary and Rose McGee of Janesville, Wisconsin, Carol Ann and Joe Staver of Stockton, Jim McGee of South Wayne, John and Charmaine McGee of Lena, Illinois, Janet Behrens of Stockton, Stephen McGee of Stockton, June and Dave Bergman of Lena, Illinois, Jean McGee of Stockton, and Tricia Boyd Cox of Galena, as well as many numerous nephews and nieces. Could have put that for the siblings. Many numerous. He was preceded in death by his parents, 3 brothers, Ron, Tom, and Patrick McGee, and his sister, Mary Rabb. Services will be held today. Immediately following, there'll be a luncheon and a time of visiting for the family. Cremation rites have been accorded, and a burial will be held at a later date, and a memorial has been established in Spike's memory. I'd like us now to please stand again, and we're going to sing The Old Rugged Cross, and these were favorite hymns of Spike's, and that's why the family chose them today. So please, let's all stand.
That old someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my
seated. So we're going to take a few minutes at this time. If you have something to share, Nick, did you have something?
Yes, possibly.
You want to start us out?
No, no.
Okay. Nick's a big chicken, but he'll follow somebody.
All of us here understood that Spike, knew everybody in the county and was probably friends with 75% of them. It was because of that friendship that I got to know Spike. Spike and I hunted pheasants together back when the county was full of pheasants, and that went on probably in the mid to late 90s. And one night, I had just gotten back from Russia on a year's mission trip, and my phone rang about 9 o'clock at night, and that was almost bedtime for me then because I was doing heavy work on the farm. And Spike was on there, and he said, "Paul, I know you know about this Christianity stuff." And so me having a legal background and a police background, evidence is very important to me. So I was able to tell Spike that the evidence that the Bible is the inspired word of God is so overwhelming that if you get to know it, you cannot possibly believe it. And I said, that Bible tells you that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father, the only way to heaven and eternal life, and that because of that, he requires your absolute submission to him in order to obtain those things. Spike went on to... He had other people poking at him besides me. He went on to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and Lord is very important to Spike, but he went on to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and all of you that know Spike know how much that changed him. That alone should be very convincing to you that how real it was. I'll leave you with that, but one thing I need to tell you is Spike and other brothers of his were helping me do a controlled burn on my place, and I would have been about probably 94. And that evening I was talking to my son on the phone, and I said, "Yeah, Stretch was over here, Spike was over here, they were helping me burn." You know what he said to me? "Don't any of those boys have real names?"
Well, I can't tell stories like Paul can, but I'm Dan Caswell, and we have 8 kids, not as many as the McGees. And I never knew the old Spike. I only knew the new Spike. We met him about 20-some years ago. We had a bunch of kids. He was planning a New Year's service at Morrisville, you know, with singing and things like that. And he just calls us up out of the blue and says, you have a lot of kids. You guys must sing. Why don't you come and do something for us? And we'd never done anything like that before. My kids are like 13 on down to zero. And so we did. And it is Spike's fault that we had a family singing ministry then for many years thereafter, because my kids got into it. We were blessed to know Spike. So, thanks.
Hello, my name is John Hunter. I'm from Mount Carroll. Not to outdo Dan, but we have 10 kids. So. Just had to say it. I met Spike back in 98. I didn't know the old Spike, but I met him in 98, and we just clicked immediately and became fast friends. And to my kids, he became Uncle Spike, and he meant a lot to them. He meant a lot to me and my wife. He was always there to encourage and to give a hand when he could. He taught me how to slaughter and process chickens. And now, you know, that's a thing so for us. And the thing about Spike that I'll never forget is, and anybody who knew Spike, you know that he liked old things, collected old things. If you've ever seen his collection, you know what I mean. And he confessed to me one day, he said, most people would look at his stuff and say, why don't you just get a dumpster and just toss it out? This is all junk. But Spike saw value in things, in old things. He saw value in things that most people didn't see value in. He saw value in the past and the values of the past. And if you were in his apartment or house, you would have seen that he still had one of those old rotary phones that he's, I always wondered how he got away with that with all the new tech, but somehow he did. Spike took that same appreciation for old things, things that people didn't see value in, he transferred that to people. And he saw value in people that most people would not see value in. I had been out with Spike different times shopping and things like that, and I would see Spike see someone who he didn't even know, a complete stranger, and he would walk up to them, and he would say, they look like they're down. And he would just go up to them, complete stranger, and he would start a conversation with them. And he just wanted to see them smile. He just wanted to give them, just say hello. He just wanted to inject some hope or joy into their life. And there were times that he did that and formed long-term friendships with people, and that he, through that ability to see value in people who were hurting, he led many to Christ and was able to continue to encourage them in their walk. And that's the legacy that whenever I think of Spike, that's what I think of, is how he saw value where no one or hardly anyone saw value. So, thank you.
I'll try not to cry. I've only got little bits and pieces of my experience with Spike. I met him when he started coming to church here. He didn't realize this. And so his reaction to my silent adoption of him as like a father figure, he tried to push me away because it didn't look good that I was spending time hanging out, talking to him in public interaction. So he'd be like, don't sit so close. It doesn't look good. And I'm like, I'm just a friend. It's okay. No, but people might think something. It's okay. He never did get over that, but I got over it because it was in my mind he was a father figure. Spike, well, I have custom t-shirts made, multiple of them, and just different sayings to spark conversation about Jesus to the public when I'm out and about. And Spike recognized that when I would wear them. And he asked me one time, he's like, do you think the person that prints your shirts for you would do a bumper sticker for me? And I'm like, yeah, what do you want it to say? Well, I like this one here. It says, my boss is a Jewish carpenter. I'd like to put that on my truck. And I'm like, so I started the process of having that done, but now he's with his Jewish carpenter. I think I better stop now.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming. Mine's going to be brief. I just really want to thank my Uncle Spike for getting me back into coming to church with him. It means a lot. And Jackson, bringing my son now, too. And I don't think it would have, if he wouldn't have reached out to me, I don't think I would have been back to coming to church. So I owe him a lot. I miss him. And I'll never forget you, Spike. Thank you.
There's a lot of you. My name is Ella, and I've known Spike for a little bit, but me and some of the young adults here at church would sing up on stage here on Thursday nights after Bible study. And one night he was standing back there watching us, and some of the girls joked, and they were like, hey, you want to go sing with them? And he set his Bible down, ran up here, and started singing with us. And we were like, kind of joking, but he wasn't. So he came up and he would sing and he'd be like, let's do this song, let's do that song. And we were like, okay. We didn't know most of them, but we learned them. And one Sunday, we were standing back there and everybody was singing, worship was going on. And he's like, Ella, he's like, I'm sorry if I am a little too pushy. And right as the music stops, he goes, just tell me if I ever need to shut up. And you know how Spike's voice carries. It was in the whole entire sanctuary, and everyone looked back at us, and Kevin goes, Spike, now is a time for you to shut up. So it was quite enjoyable, but something I'll never forget about Spike is he cared for each and every one of you. And although I don't know a lot of you, I do know that he loved you, and he knew the truth of the gospel, and he truly wanted each of you to know that. So if you guys leave with nothing, there's all these funny stories, but the truth is he wanted each of you to know Christ, and he wanted you to love him as your Savior, and I pray that that is what each of you take home with you. So thank you.
My name is Jane Van Hamme, and I'm here talking for Bob. My husband, Bob Van Hamme, was very good friends with the McGee family. I knew Spike as long as I knew Bob. When I met Bob, Spike and Bob were living together, and I have heard so many stories about Spike and the McGee family. Bob would say, I went out there many, many times, but he said, my first time out there, it was dinner time. My mother taught me manners. He says, you waited until food was on the table, you said your prayers, and you had etiquette. Well, not at the McGee clan. I learned real quick that if I didn't jump in and grab that food, I was going to go hungry. And he said, Carol Ann was always busy helping her mother prepare that food. And then he told me about the time him and Spike blew up old tractors and cars with dynamite. That's the Spike I knew. Or they played chicken on Highway 20. Lay down there right over the hill, see who was chicken, and would get up before the car came over the hill. Yeah. Those two should have been dead long before now. But they weren't. Bob loved Spike. He loved the McGee family, and I feel like they're part of family because of Bob. And, yeah, Spike's going to be missed.
So to know Spike is to love Spike. I suppose if you were a sibling, you've got some stories that you'd maybe not share. But he was something. And I'm not going to try and not cry. I'm just going to try and cry quick and get over it. But the fact of the matter is, he was loved. And Spike would like to thank you all for coming because he's not going to be at any of your funerals. That was a joke that he appreciated. Not many people appreciate that joke, but the fact of the matter is, one day we're all gonna be at the last funeral. So, I'll work through this. I'm an emotional guy. Anyway, three or so months ago, Spike called me and he says, I already talked to Kevin, I told him all the details, but I want you to know. I'm preparing my funeral. Like, okay, what do you want, Spike? He goes, well, I want to do a video. I want to share with my siblings. I want to preach to them. You and Kevin, you guys can brag me up. I want to preach to him. Thing is, though, three different times, talking with him, visiting with him, asked him, because he wondered if I knew somebody. I said, Alec, can, yeah, do that video and edit it and stuff. Well, I don't want it too fancy. I just want a video. Like, we can do that. We can make that happen. And three different times, no, not ready. I'll do that when I'm feeling better. Three different times he said that. I want you to think about that. So I'm reading through 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, and I would recommend it for you. But chapter 4, verse 5 says, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. And we know Spike was a servant of Jesus. A couple talked about the old Spike and the new Spike. And I only got to know the new Spike. But it was probably about 25 years ago that I met him for the first time. And he was in my driveway. And he said, that barn down the road, you know who owns that? And I'm like, yeah, that's our family's. It's grandpa's or, you know, whatever. He goes, will you guys be interested in selling any of that wood off of there? And I said, no, we'll just let it rot, fall to the ground and rot. And I was kind of joking, but, you know, I had some plans for some of that wood. And I don't know, maybe you want to be selfish, I guess, and not let somebody else have it. But he responded with, yeah, that's what a lot of people do. And I can go show you that barn. Probably got about a tenth of the wood out of it, put it in another building,
have yet to make anything with it, but have plans, you know, ideas. But time goes on. But it's just calm response. That's what most people do with it. I could take you, show you that barn, and it's a pile of organic matter. There's literally practically nothing really in there that's salvageable. Doesn't even, probably won't even burn, so to speak. So he was right. That's what most people do. Just let it fall to the ground and rot away. So when I think of those boards, and I think of Spike, and I see some of these pictures, some of them are maybe wood that he salvaged, wood that got repurposed somewhere else, and I think of that 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. If you saw something special in Spike, it was Christ. He wants you to know that. But the thing is, concerning that barn, he could have did better with it. Spike was able. Those boards, those beams, a rotting pile of nothing today could have been something better. Could have been given a second chance in life. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Spike was willing to make that happen with that barn. Spike was able, but I wasn't willing. Now granted, I didn't even give it to Dad to decide or Grandpa to decide, but I knew what they had said to everybody in the past, because a lot of people would have stopped over the years, but that wood just rotted away. Spike had an old self and a new self. The new self was because of Christ, without a doubt. But the fact of the matter is, we all rot away. We're boards. We might get a second lease on life. We might have a second, you know, period in life where your life turns around for whatever reason. You might have a worse time in life because of a health issue. But apart from Christ, we are nothing. 2 Corinthians 4:16. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. So I remember the two most vivid times in my life, meeting Spike. The first time, and then the last time I saw him. That Spike, if you visited him in the last days up at Duran, was not the Spike we knew. But we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Those of you that know Christ and knew Spike can find great joy looking back on that light momentary affliction, because he is in the presence of his Lord and Savior. And that is awesome. But if we go back, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world, whatever we put as our God, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Which brings me back to the verse first I started, verse 5. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. So I'm supposed to brag Spike up, but we didn't get the video done, so I'm preaching to you too, obviously. You can tell that. There's going to be more. But the fact of the matter is, we love Spike. You guys love Spike. That's why you're here. And I remember that first day I asked him, I goes, your name actually Spike? Because he gave me a card. He's like, yep, Spike's my name. 20 years later, a few years back, he told me the story where Spike came from, why he wasn't called Dennis, why he was called Mike, and all that. It's kind of interesting. And I asked him, how'd you come to find the Lord? And he said he was plastering, I think the north side of Stockton somewhere, one of those houses, and it hit him. The veil, so to speak, was removed. He said, right there in that room, I built an altar, and I plastered a cross on the wall. And I took a picture of it. I'll find that picture for you, he said. So I looked for it today. It's not there. But it's somewhere. But the, what? So that was the day the veil was removed from him. So on Spike's behalf, I would encourage you to question, who is God? Who is this Jesus guy? Do you know Jesus? But more importantly, does Jesus know you? And if you wonder, ask questions. Pray about it. Ask Kevin, ask me. Say, I don't get this. Explain it to me, and we will. But the fact of the matter is, Spike loved each and every one of you. And he wanted to tell you something, but didn't get it done. Spike wanted to make something better out of that barn. I didn't let it happen. He was able, I wasn't willing. So when it comes down to your heart and your head and your issue, which is sin, which we all have, that separates us from a holy God, that we can only find connection back to God through Christ. I'm telling you today, Christ, Jesus Christ, is able. Are you willing? So I want you to think about that. If you see an old barn board, whether it's rotten or whether it's repurposed, when it comes to those boards, Spike was able. Are you willing? But when it comes to salvation, Jesus Christ is able. Are you willing? Thank you.
Seems like every time I speak, I'm the last one to get up here. Everybody's half asleep by now. But thank you, Bill. Such great imagery and truth. I don't know how I can follow everyone. First of all, it was Bob, right? And then Dan. And what a way to start out by sharing how Spike was interested in the Lord, wanted to know what the evidence was and why he should believe. And that's why we're here today. A lot of the things that you guys have said, I've said. First time I met Spike was back there at the back of the church, and it wasn't that long ago. I can't really remember the time frame, but probably 2 years or less. And he had cancer at that time. He had hip replacement surgery, and he sat in a chair there. And when I went back there, I told him who I was. He told me who he was, and he said, I like what you have going here. I said, thank you. And then over the course of a few weeks, I said, "So is your name Spike McGee?" And he said, "Why?" I said, "Well, that's just the coolest name I've ever heard." And if your parents named you that, he goes, "You had to have the coolest parents." And he said, "Well," he said, "actually, it's Dennis." And I was like, "What?" He goes, "It's Dennis." He says, "But don't call me that." And so then, talking to the family, you guys call him Dennis, you call him Spike, you call him Mike. I mean, how many names can one guy have? But what a character he was. And I'm going to tell you the one thing that I'll always remember Spike for, more than one, because I keep getting up here and at these types of services and telling that once in a while God sends very unique people into your life and people that you'll never forget. And Spike was one of those guys. He was just something about his character and his friendliness and his outgoing, his passionate heart that he had and his love for his family and for everybody that he met. Didn't take you long. My wife said all the time, she would say, "Well, I don't know about that Spike guy." And then she would, pretty soon she started saying, "That Spike, he just grows on you." And the next thing I know, Spike is calling my wife. The phone rings and he's like, "Kevin?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Is Cindy there?" Nobody ever does that. And he stopped by the house a couple times on his way to and from his chemo treatments this last time before he got too bad, too sick. And he had a question about something, and he was perfectly happy that I wasn't home, that my wife was able to give him the information he was looking for. One thing, when Spike would come here, he started coming on Tuesdays. We have a Tuesday morning Bible study. We have a Thursday night prayer time Bible study. Then, of course, Sunday. And he was coming as much as he could. And he would sit here on Thursday night. And it's always kind of dark in here. We just have those little lights on because we want to kind of set a prayer type of atmosphere. And Spike would begin his prayers just like if he was talking to you or me. He would say, "Well, dear Lord," like he could hardly get it out. And then he would pray, and he would pray, and he would pray for people, for you, for me, for whatever the situation was, my wife and I. And I just love that. And I told our second service today that we're going to miss those prayers. Because the prayers of a saint go on longer than the saint. The Bible says God collects those prayers, and they come up before him at the appropriate time. And so when we need the Lord the most, Spike's prayers are going to go up as a sweet aroma before God, and God's going to move. So I love that guy, and I'm going to love him till the day I die, and I'm going to love meeting him up in heaven when he doesn't have cancer and when he doesn't have a broken hip and he can get around as free as he wants to. So I'm here today to bring you a message of hope and of peace. And I have three purposes I want to accomplish. And we've already done the first one. We've honored Spike. We're going to honor God. And we're going to proclaim the gospel, which has already been done. As Bill mentioned, Spike wanted a video. And Spike told me that day, he called me. Every Sunday, we put birthday people up on the screen. We sing happy birthday. And that kind of started by accident. We just did it for one or two people. And pretty soon, little kids were like, "Mommy, they sing happy birthday to me and put my name up." So now every Sunday we've got lots of people up there. And Spike calls me up and he goes, "My birthday's coming up." And he goes, "This might be the last time that I get sung happy birthday to. Can you put my name up on the screen?" Because he hadn't told us to put it up yet. And so we sang to him that Sunday, but he was too sick to be here. And he never made it back here again. He planned to. Every time I talked to him, he said, I'm going to get back this Sunday, hopefully, if I'm strong enough. And we stopped by the house a couple times, and he always wanted to know, what are you doing here? That was what he'd say. What are you doing here? I was like, well, we came to Stockton, and we thought we'd stop and say hi. And then at the nursing home, I forget who was there, Carol Ann or somebody, and on the north end of the nursing home, the showers didn't work, but they worked on the south end. And so Spike said, well, just take me home. Take a shower, and we'll come back. Well, they're not going to let you do that. And I came back, and he's like, they won't let me do that. I was like, well, no, of course not. But he told me he wasn't ready to die. I'm not giving up. He didn't say he wasn't ready to die. He said, I'm not giving up. That last diagnosis was serious. Cancer had moved into the bone. You could see it in his face. He kind of looked jaundiced all the time. But he was fighting. And he told me we could sing happy birthday. It might be the last, but he wasn't giving up. The doctor told him it's day by day, and he goes, I hate that. I hate it when people say day by day. He goes, that tells you that you only have that one day. But Spike expected to live longer. But he wasn't afraid to die either. And he was ready to meet his Savior. And God was good to Spike. Spike had hardships and issues just like everybody else. But God was good to us too in letting us know him the way that we did. And there are so many memories we could share. But the Bible says that God has ordained our days for us. Psalm 90, verse 10, it says, the length of our days are 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. They quickly pass and we fly away. So the psalmist says, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness and unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. I have to tell you, Thursday nights after our prayer and Bible study, when the young adults would come up here and sing, and when Spike joined them, that brought him so much joy. Joy beyond words. And he said so many times, I can't believe those young people want me to sing with them. And like Ella said, he didn't say, hey, what are you singing? He's like, hey, let's sing this song. And then pretty soon they'd be singing it. And we went to the park last summer in Warren when what's the name of your group? The Peace Seekers. Spike was like, gotta come. I'm coming on at 5 o'clock. And so we went, and then you guys sang that Eagles song. That was just like really a neat song. So I went home and looked it up. And they didn't just make it up. They actually had turned an Eagles song into a worship song. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So God gave Spike just 73 years, but he made the most of his time. God established the work of his hands. God gave him family that loves him. I mean, I thought there was 12 in the family. I think that's what Spike told me, but I count 14. So two of you, he left out. We'll never know which two. But the 12 he loved with a passion. And as everybody said, all he wanted was you to know the Lord like he knows the Lord. That's what he wanted. And I love these pictures. My favorite is this one where he's like 2 years old up here because it looked just like he did when he's 70. And he said, he had that grin, that mischievous grin and that big smile. And I'll always remember his laugh. But I just want to say a few more words and then I'll be done. But when someone we love who passes away, our thoughts naturally turn to curiosity about what comes after this life. We want to know. And when we're alive, we just kind of push those thoughts away, and we don't really want to dwell on them because it's unknown to us, and it's frankly kind of scary. But after Spike got sick a couple of years ago, and as it lingered and he got closer and closer, you could tell, to the Lord. And he had a special relationship with him and a deep, deep love that was evident every time he came around. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says that it's better to go to a funeral than to a wedding, because at a funeral, people are thinking about life after this life. Jesus tells a story in Luke 16, a parable about two men who died, and he says that one went to hell, to Hades, and he said he was in great torment there, and he begged for a drop of water to be placed on the tip of his tongue. He was so thirsty. And the Lord said, that's impossible. He said, then let me go back and tell my family I have five brothers. And the Lord said, your brothers have been told. They know, but they just have turned a cold heart to the gospel. I have a saying, hell is hot and eternity is a long time. And God gives us time. 1 Corinthians 16 says that God has given us this opportunity. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day to make a decision. Jesus tells about the other man who died, and he went to paradise, it says. And we know what the Bible says about heaven. It says that there's no crying, no pain, no tears. All that is gone forever. It's eternal, continuous happiness and activity and peaceful rest. And some people say that they don't believe in heaven or hell or God or the devil or the Bible. And I would say that that's anyone's prerogative, because God has given each of us the cognitive ability to choose whether we want to believe it or not believe it. But whether we believe in God or not, we all know that deep down, in the innermost part of our being, that there is life after death. The Bible says that God has set eternity in the heart of man. And anytime I talk to somebody and they say that they're an atheist or they don't believe in God, I don't believe them, because I know what the Bible says, that there is in our hearts, we know that there one day we're going to stand before someone somewhere to give an account for our lives. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men to die once, and after this the judgment. But God has, he set up a way for us to pass from death to life, and it's through Jesus. And this is what Spike discovered. He opened the way for us to have peace with God. And our problems don't go away when we put our trust in Jesus. But the difference is that we find purpose in them, because God is working in them to draw us close to him and into dependence upon him. Jesus said, come to me, all you are weak and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls. And that's really what all of us want down deep inside. We want peace with God, and we want guilt-free rest. And you might be thinking that you're a fine enough Christian already, but I would say if you don't have rest in your soul or peace in your heart, you don't really know the Lord. And God is now reaching out to you and drawing you near so that you'll come to him. Satan's ultimate goal, Jesus tells us in John 10:10, is to steal and kill and destroy. He wants to destroy your life in little bits and pieces and one big chunk, or however he can. And he wants to kill you in the sense to separate you from God. Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant life in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that when we come to Jesus, when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I can get into the whole doctrine of the cleansing blood and the broken body, but I won't for now. I'll just say that Jesus' death on the cross and his shed blood is what washes our sins away and what brings us to a place of peace with God. Trust in him. Jeremiah 29:13 says, when we seek him with all of our heart, we will find him. Tells us in Psalm 116 that at the gates of death, God welcomes those who love him. That's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible because it's at the gates of death. That means on this side of death, God is standing there welcoming us to be with him. And what's really amazing is in that parable that Jesus told of the rich man and the poor man, the one went to heaven, one went to hell. He said that God sent his angels to come and to take the believer to heaven to be with him. And Bill said it well, and you know if you were with Spike those last few days, that wasn't Spike. I don't know if it was the medication or the cancer or what, but he was out of his mind. But last Sunday morning, 2 weeks ago, I got the word here at church. Nick told us Spike passed away. And so I was sad because I was planning to go see him that afternoon again. I was just going to go from here over to Duran. So I didn't go, obviously. But I thought about the moment that Spike was to go. And I like to imagine this. God's up in heaven and his angels are there. And I read in Psalm 123 that God's angels are there at his summons. God summons his angels and they do his work. And he says, okay, you guys, down there in Durand is Spike McGee. Dennis Michael Spike, in case you get confused. Don't get the wrong guy. And he comes, and as Spike's breath is escaping him, and as his heart begins to stop, there in the room are God's angels. He never had to be alone. He never was scared. Paul says that to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. And as they escorted him, there stands God welcoming him to the gates of heaven. That doesn't sound like something I'd be afraid of. Spike is way ahead of us. And someday, we'll be celebrating with him. So if you don't know the Lord Jesus the way that Spike knew him, if you don't have that peace, and you've never really given your heart to him, this would be a good time to do that. You don't have to do anything religious. You can do it right in your heart. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and set me in a new direction in life, one that will lead me to heaven. I confess my sin. I turn to you, and I put my trust in you to save me. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for the life of Spike McGee. Lord, I thank you for his love, for his family, and for his friends like us. Thank you for his goodness and the kindness that he gave so generously. And Lord, we thank you that you knew his heart, the love that he had for you, and now he is in your very presence with you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. One last thing that Spike told me that last time I saw him, told me to sell his truck. He would come in here in that truck in the parking lot, and you never knew what was going to be in the back of that thing. I went home and told my wife, Spike told me to sell his truck. And I said, I think I know who can buy it. And she said, no, you're not. It's like an 89 Chevy, right? Nice. Okay, now the peace seekers are going to come. Spike's group, and they're going to sing a closing song, and then we'll have a short benediction. Then we'll all go next door. So thank you. God bless you.
Always appreciated his sisters coming, who he called his groupies. Every time we come, he'd say, thanks to my groupies for being there. So we love you guys.
I'm just a little sad that he's not up here singing with you all, but thank you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. We thank you, Lord, for Spike McGee, for his life, and now in his death, we praise you that he is with you, and the angels now, even now, are rejoicing around your throne in heaven. So, dear God, the great patriarch Job declared, ashes to ashes and dust to dust, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And into your hands, dear Lord, we release Dennis Michael Spike McGee. May he rest in your eternal peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And that concludes our service this afternoon. You're welcome to join us next door, and I'd like to ask that you let the family go first to be served, and then we'll all fall in line after them. God bless you all.